Episode 108.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we finally pick the domain name for the late night niche site. Very exciting. We also continue to explore all of the SEO news that's going on around Penguin 4.0, and we discuss some listener feedback. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend? Yes, you can do it right when it's late at night. At the end of the day, your dreams burning inside. So keep it up and you will find that you're building your business one night at a time.
And now, broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? My name is Mark Mason, coming to you from Dallas, Texas, late at night. I hope you're doing absolutely fantastic. This is the podcast, the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, that helps you build real internet businesses, even when you only have a little spare time at night. And I hope that you are having a fantastic end of the year. You know, just last episode, in episode 107, we talked about finishing the year strong. If you missed that, I encourage you to go back to latenightim.com/107, get a listen to that, get charged up, and get going for the rest of the year. I know I've been making a lot of progress on my internet business. I'm really excited about finishing the year strong. Lots of exciting stuff going on. Speaking of finishing the year strong, a little shout out to my kid brother, Steven. He had his birthday this week. He's the big 4-0. That's pretty exciting. I remember once upon a time when I was 40, long, long ago. He's not that much younger than me, but you get the idea. Anyway, happy birthday, brother. I hope you had an absolutely fun time. He was actually able to come to Dallas. He had a speaking engagement over in Fort Worth, and he ducked over here to have dinner with me, and I really appreciate that. That was really cool. He's actually an expert in intellectual property, so he had not listened to episode 106 on copyright law, so I didn't get any criticism from him. You know how I say I'm actually not an attorney? He actually is, so I guess if he gets around to listening to that, I might get some listener feedback. Speaking of listener feedback, I've got a little of that for you right now.
And now, it's time to hear what listeners just like you are thinking.
Late night listener feedback.
Now, this is a really cool piece of feedback I got on iTunes. Now, you guys know I love iTunes reviews. You can leave one over at latenightim.com/iTunes. Why do I love them? Because, well, that's how iTunes decides how heavily to weight the importance of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. And it helps people find me. And that's the only way I can help people is if they find me. So go on over there and leave me a review like Kim Sutton did. So Kim says, Mark, I've been listening for a couple of weeks now. And although it's 2016, I started way back at the beginning. And the amount of the information that I've learned is phenomenal. While some may be worried that the information would be out of date, she's talking about the old back catalog episodes, I love how you give updates on what's working and what's not. It's information every entrepreneur or digital marketer needs to know, and you've taken so much out of the process for me while giving me 100,000 new ideas to implement. Thank you, Kim Sutton, Strategic Solutions. So you can find Kim over at thekimsutton.com. That's Kim Sutton with two T's.com. And what's exciting is she just launched a podcast, and I was honored to be guest on episode number 2 of the podcast over there. So head on over there and check that out. That's thekimsutton.com and check out episode number 2. Really cool of Kim to have me on her new show. She's accomplished a tremendous amount in the time that she's been online, and now she's launching a show. I'm very excited for her and was very honored to be asked to be on her show. Thanks so much, Kim. Now, speaking of shows, if you've got a favorite podcast that you would think that I would be a great fit on, let me know. I love doing podcast interviews. You can send me email at support@latenightim.com. I'm especially interested in helping out new podcasters because, you know what? Once upon a time, I was a new podcaster. So if you are a new podcaster and you're looking for a guest for your show, or you know someone who is, let me know. And if I've got time, I will try to squeeze in an interview for them if they would find that's helpful. Again, support@latenightim.com, and that will get you there.
This week, in the world of internet marketing news.
So the, you know, last couple of weeks, we have been talking about news about the new Penguin update. And I think we finally figured out what's going on here based on some comments that Google made. Now, in episode 109, that's next week, I'm going to devote a big chunk of that to the current state of search engine optimization, so we can talk about this in more detail. But basically, what's going on now is we have Penguin 4.0 in the wild. Flightless bird of du jour is out there. And basically, what's going on is they've switched Penguin 4.0 to a real-time algorithm, which means that unlike past versions of Penguin, where they would update Penguin every 6 months or year or a couple of years, they have made Penguin 4.0 something that they can update live. So when they, and the presumption is every time Google crawls your site, which usually, you know, can be from daily to weekly to once a month or so, depending on which page in your site you're talking about, they'll make a new assessment of your Penguin-ness. And you'll remember that Panda is the algorithm that talks about sort of what your site is like, what's the quality of your site, whether or not it is spammy and so forth. It's kind of an artificial intelligence algorithm that uses input from thousands or perhaps tens of thousands of human reviewers and tries to learn what's the difference between a really good authoritative site and a spammy kind of not so good site based on what's on the site. The Penguin algorithm is the algorithm that looks more at what kind of links are coming into your site, what's your anchor text mix and stuff like that. And it's been going on since April of 2012 when the first version of Penguin was released. And there were some subsequent tweaks released. The second version of Penguin was released a year later in May of 2013. And then the third version was released in October of 2014, and it's been quiet on the Penguin front. And this has been a really tough algorithm for people to deal with because this was back in the times, kind of 2012, 2013 timeframe, when a lot of internet marketers, including me, were able to game the system, as it were, by buying links from places like Link Farm. So you could literally build a good site, or maybe even not so good site, maybe an average site, but then spend money to have people link to your site, and you could buy these links incoming into your site. And that would send a signal to Google that would have them rank the site maybe higher than it should be ranked. And obviously, that's a bad thing. In general, it does not make the internet a better place, which I think you should always be doing. And so Google has been fighting that for the reasons that we've talked about many times. Google has got to deliver the best possible search results if they want to stay on top as the best search engine on the internet, and if they want to continue to attract advertisers. So Penguin 4.0 is the latest evolution. And I think when it's all said and done and the dust clears, we'll say that Penguin came in September, at the end of September of 2016. So this is now 4.5 years later. And what's interesting about, besides this idea that it's a real-time thing, in other words, every time it recrawls your site, it reevaluates whether or not it needs to adjust its ranking of your site based on this penguin part of the algorithm. It also, they've come out and said in a Facebook chat with a reporter, and we'll talk about this more next week, that they no longer are going to penalize sites for spammy backlinks. You know, I just said that one of the big things that Penguin did was if it saw these purchased or spammy links coming in to your site, it would drag your site down like a boat anchor. You know, it would derate your site. And so maybe for other reasons, your site would be ranking on page one. But if you had this spammy kind of behavior, the Penguin algorithm would add a weight to you and you would sink in the rankings. Well, now, I guess the supposition that Google has is they know what these spammy links are. And so rather than penalizing you, they're just going to ignore them. And one of the reasons that they're doing that, I think, is because the problem was this has started a war. And if you had, I know Pat has told me that this has happened to some of his sites before. If you have a really popular site and someone wants to compete with you, one of the things that they could do is what's called a negative SEO campaign. They could attack your site by buying these spammy links from offshore spam websites and driving them to your site, not with the purpose of making your site rank, but with the purpose of triggering this Penguin algorithm in an attack. And so Google has said, hey, we're not going to penalize you anymore, but we're also not going to count these anymore. This is a really good thing for SEO, and that's something else that we're going to talk about next week. So that's sort of where we are on that. That's what's going on in the news, and there will be links to a couple of these Penguin articles in the show notes if you're interested in understanding more about this prior to episode 109 next week.
Whether you say niche or niche, it's time for an update on the Late Night Niche site.
Okay, so now it's time to work on collecting up the domain, picking a domain, choosing a domain for the Late Night Niche site. So as you'll recall, one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to build a niche site just right on the air here on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. And we've talked about how you pick a niche. If you've never picked a niche before, what do? We talked about my niche, the niche that we're going to pick for this purpose. And we decided we needed something that we cared about because it's probably our first niche site. If we're interested in this kind of topic, a lot of times we need to pick something we're interested in because we're going to have to fight through a lot of issues to get our first site up. We need to maintain our interest in this site. And so we want to pick something that we care about. We also need to pick something that's commercially viable. And in my case, the cross of those two things we decided was youth baseball, because I've got this 9-year-old kid named Zach, who I'll put a picture of him in the show notes, throwing a pitch on the mound. And that's something that I'm working on 3 times a week. We have baseball practice twice a week. And then we play a game every Saturday. And we've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years. So baseball is something that we care about a great deal around here. So why not build a niche site on baseball? From a commercial perspective, the question is, are there people out there selling stuff around baseball or people that have a need about baseball? And we talked about all the different kinds of equipment and things you can buy. If you go in a sporting goods store, you can see aisles and aisles of stuff that's related to baseball. Some of that stuff is quite expensive. We know that baseball bats go up to $200 or $300, $400 a piece. Baseball gloves, likewise, easy to spend a couple hundred dollars on a baseball glove. We know that there are training programs out there, both for coaches and players, that you can buy online. There's all kinds of stuff to buy. So commercially, this is a viable topic. We also know that there's existing stuff online. If we go out and search for baseball, youth baseball, particularly related things, we see ads and so forth. We see lots of products for sale on Amazon. So we've got a pretty good idea that this is a commercially viable thing. So that's what we picked. So the next thing we need is a home for our business. We need a domain name, because what we're going to do is build a website full of tons of helpful information about youth baseball. And we are going to talk about how to decide what that information is and how to come up with topics to write about in a later episode, how to define products to review and promote and so forth in a later episode. But we know this website is going to be about youth baseball, so we've got to pick a domain name. Now, there's a lot of things that you could consider in buying a domain name, and we're not going to discuss all of them in this episode, but I have created for you what I consider to be the ultimate domain name checklist as a free download from Late Night Internet Marketing. So if you go to latenightinternetmarketing.com/108, that's the number of this episode. So latenightinternetmarketing.com, or if you don't like to type that much, latenightim.com/108. You'll find the show notes for this episode, and in the show notes, there'll be a big button that says download domain name checklist, and that'll be delivered straight to your email inbox. You'll love that. I hope that'll be super helpful for you. So be sure and check that out. I am going to cover the highlights here, but we've also got to cover some of the sort of the big picture stuff, which is not in the checklist. So I want to talk about that as well. So what are the characteristics of a good domain name? Well, you know, once upon a time, a good domain name needed to be stuffed chock full of the main keywords that you wanted to rank for. At least that was one consideration. And it turns out that exact matching of the domain name to whatever keyword you're going to rank for your main keyword is no longer really necessary. You can, you know, the data out there, the people who track this, indicates that the matching of the domain name is not necessarily a critical item anymore. It still has a little bit of weight. It's hard to say exactly how important it is, but people track this. SEO agencies look at what they review programmatically. They have these scrapers that go out and look at what's ranking for particular keywords, and then they look at those websites and look at how many of the websites actually have those keywords in the actual domain name. And you can test this for yourself. You can go out and you can Google various youth baseball terms, and you can see how many websites actually have youth baseball in the title. And some of them do and some of them don't. But be careful with this, because a lot of times, especially for generic keywords, this is correlated automatically, because youth baseball sites are, what are they about? They're about youth baseball. So of course they're ranking for youth baseball. And the bottom line is, people with scientific methods have looked at this, and this is a much less important thing in Google, in terms of the Google algorithm. However, when you consider how your website URL is going to be used, your domain name is going to be used, it's going to be used primarily in two ways. One way it's going to be used is when people are searching for something online, which is important. They're going to look at the listings that come back from Google, and they're going to try to decide whether or not to click on your link. So I think it's really important, and we've all done this, right? We've got 10 or maybe 20 choices in front of us, and we're trying to decide what to click. And we've got three things that we can look at. One is the title of the listing, you know, the title of the article that Google has picked up off of your website. The second thing that we've got to look at is actually the URL, which is there. And the third thing that we've got to look at is the description that describes what the page is about. Now, let's put the page title and the description aside. That's something we're going to talk about in a later episode, and talk about what we're talking about right now, which is the URL, the domain name. They're looking at that and trying to decide, does it look spammy? Does it look like it's related to what I'm talking about? Is it professional sounding and so forth? And so for my money, I think this is one of the more important things. Having a good domain name, one that makes sense to people, one that doesn't look spammy, one that's maybe a little bit catchy, is important for click-through rate on the search engine results page. We're going to talk about this more later when we talk about SEO, but this idea that there's a search engine results page on which hopefully your page will be listed, and that you're competing with people to get that click from Google, that's a really important idea. So you want to choose a domain name that looks good from that perspective. And since we've all used search every day, you can kind of understand that really, really long domain names that don't seem to have anything to do with the search topic, domain names that seem spammy for one reason or another, or that are hard to read or that don't make sense, all of those seem to get fewer clicks than good, solid domain names that are, make it clear what the website is about. That's one thing. And by the way, that idea goes for anywhere that your URL is seen, whether you're driving traffic from Facebook or whatever. If your URL makes sense for the topic, people are going to be more likely to click through to see your website. The second thing is this idea that we want people to be able, kind of for the same reasons, to remember your website. Be clear about what it's about, but also, is it something that could be remembered? These are kind of related ideas. If it has something to do with something that people can remember is associated with your key topic, then it probably makes sense that you're on the right track. So I think this, is it rememberable, is a good thing that you need to consider when you're choosing a domain name. And then the final thing I'd say is make sure that it's not anything that you have to explain. If you tell somebody your domain name in conversation, and then you find yourself having to spell it or explain it because what you just said with the words that came out of your mouth weren't clear enough, then you've made a mistake. Late night internet marketing, very clear. And sometimes I say late night IM for short, very clear. But if it's a baseball site and you decide you want to name it hotdogfan.com because baseball fans like to eat hot dogs, well, that might not be the best choice. Or if it's baseball fan 7 and we're not sure whether it's the number 7 or the 7 spelled out S-E-V-E-N, also not a good choice. So you want to make sure that when you say the domain name, you don't have to explain yourself. Now, there are other great checks that you can run. And if you want to take a look at those, take a look at this domain name checklist that I've created for you. Again, you can find that at latenightim.com/108, which is this episode. And you can see the big button there and download that and get that right away. One other thing I want to mention to you about domain names is you need to make sure that whatever domain name that you choose is not a trademark. And by make sure, I mean do some due diligence. Now, an attorney would tell you, I'm not an attorney. The only way that you can make sure that you're not violating a trademark is to hire an attorney to do a trademark search. And that is absolutely true. And if that's something that concerns you, then you should do that. You can do that at LegalZoom or, you know, any, you can hire an intellectual property attorney in your town to do that. But at the very least, whether you choose to do that or not for your business, you should Google around and make sure that your website is not obviously impinging on someone else's trademark rights. And there's a really good example here for baseball. You know, a lot of people, when they say their kid plays baseball, they say they play Little League baseball. Now, the term Little League is actually the Little League Corporation. Little League Baseball is actually a thing. That's a company. And that phrase, Little League Baseball, is actually a trademark of this company that we talk about when we talk about kids playing baseball. The Little League World Series, all of that comes from this company that where Little League Baseball is their trademark product. So my kids play youth baseball, but we don't play in a Little League Baseball league. We play in a youth baseball league. In other words, we're not playing under the auspices of Little League Baseball. So if I were to name my website Little League Baseball Guy or something like that, I'd be violating Little League Baseball's trademark probably. And so that's a real concern. So you got to watch out for that and make sure that you're not violating trademark. So how do we find this domain name? Again, check the domain name checklist for all the different kinds of exciting stuff that you should check when you're buying a domain name. I guess one more thing I'll say about that's on the domain checklist that I'll tell you about is I really feel strongly that the best websites are .com. You can certainly use .net and .org very successfully if that makes sense for you. I recommend that you get the .com. I recommend that you stay away from the .dot everything else, .tv, .this, .that, .whatever. There are specific cases where you might want to do that, but for search engine optimization, I definitely recommend, if possible, that you stay with .com. Maybe we'll talk about that in another episode. It's not a hard and fast rule. If you've got a reason for wanting to use some other top-level domain name other than .com, for example, perhaps you live in the UK and you want to use a .co.uk domain name, that's fine. But just in the general case, I'm recommending .com. Now, usually the way I like to get started when I'm buying a domain is with a domain name generator. And usually, because these things come and go, I'll go right to Google and type in domain name generator. I've listed a few of my favorites in the show notes for you, but one that I've been using lately is this one called Lean Domain Search, leandomainsearch.com. That's lean, like not fat, but leandomainsearch.com. And in our case, I'm just going to go there and type in youth baseball. And the cool thing is that in less than half a second, actually somewhere on here, it tells me 0.47 seconds, lean domain search comes back and tells me that it's been able to find 4,800, almost 5,000 available domain names containing the phrase youth baseball. Now, there's one thing that I don't love about youth baseball in the domain name, and that is that it's pretty long. One of the things about long domain names is, one, if they get too long, they can be spammy. So if you decided you wanted your domain name to be theyouthbaseballproshopofdallas.com, that would be too long. Usually, a good standard is to make your domain name legal for Twitter. So that's 15 characters. So if you make a domain name of 15 characters or less, then you can have your domain name also be an available Twitter name. And that's really good for branding. So that's another thing that's in the domain name checklist. You need to check your domain name for availability on social media. Unfortunately, youth baseball all by itself is 13 letters, leaving only two. If you wanted to stay under the 15 limit. So for example, you could do Go Youth Baseball, which pops up at the top of the lean domain search. I don't love that domain name, but that's certainly an option if you wanted to stay under 15. I think in this particular case, I'll just advise you that you should stay under 15 if you can, if you have a good option. I'm probably going to go over 15. So as I look through this list, there's some stuff that I like and stuff that I don't like. Youth baseball online, that's not too bad. I don't love online or web or other generic ones like that, but that's not really something that jumps out at me. Youth baseball shop would be great if we were only going to be selling youth baseball gear, but we're going to be so much more than that. We're going to try and help coaches. We're going to write articles of interest about baseball. We're going to be a lot wider than just a baseball shop, so that's not too great. Youth baseball news, again, we're going to have news, I hope, but we're going to be more than just a news site, so that's not great. Youth baseball site, that's sort of okay, but I don't love it, just like I don't like online. So there's some more here. Youth baseball city, that's pretty cool. Youth baseball life, youth baseball home, Mr. Youth Baseball, that's actually 15. So if you wanted to brand yourself as Mr. Youth Baseball, kind of like Cliff Ravenscraft used to be primarily the podcast answer man, he's still the podcast answer man, but he's so much more now. That's could be a good one. If you could imagine this avatar of you as Mr. Youth Baseball, that could be pretty cool. Again, that's a branding question. Real Youth Baseball is here as an option. Youth Baseball One, that's kind of cool. Youth Baseball Man, again, Podcast Answer Man, Youth Baseball Man, that kind of idea. So there's lots of stuff here. There's 5,000 of these on this page. And just a note, you'll see that if you click on one of these, for you that are in affiliate marketing, this is something for you to think about. This is a really helpful site, right? This site is helping me. It's delivering value. Lean domain search. This is kind of an aside here, but how does this site make money? Well, it works great. It's super fast. It gave me 5,000 domain name ideas in half a second. And if I click on one, I can easily register the domain with Bluehost, GoDaddy, or a couple of other options, including Namecheap. So this is an affiliate marketing website. It ranks really highly in the search engine results for domain name generator. And when people click on it, some of those people will click through and buy the domain name through the affiliate link on this website. This is exactly the same principle that your website is going to work on. I just thought it's an interesting aside. So when I dig down through here, the one that I like that just appeals to me emotionally, I guess, is Youth Baseball Zone. So there's one more thing that I need to do before I decide to go over to Namecheap, which is who I use for domain names, and buy Youth Baseball Zone. And that is, I want to do a quick check and see if Youth Baseball Zone has been used. So what I'll do is I'll type into Google, I'll type who is, WHOIS, youthbaseballzone.com. Because that's the website that I'm considering purchasing. And that will allow me to look at the who is record for youthbaseballzone.com. And I can see that it looks like when I look at that, sometime in the past, this website was owned by someone else. So that's interesting. I can check some other resources to see if how this was used. And you know, you could do exhaustive searches to understand. It used to be, until a couple of weeks ago, that one of the primary things you were trying to understand was, did this website have a spammy history where it was being used for SEO in a way that was not okay with Google? But since this Panda 4.0 update, Google has come out and said, we're just going to ignore spammy links to websites. We're just not going to count them. We don't care so much. So unless it's really egregious, unless you see something that really looks junky and spammy, it's not something I'd worry about. And I think the simple test that you can do with free tools is to look in the Wayback Machine. So if you go to archive.org, which is another link that I'll put in the show notes, and you put in youthbaseball.com, you see that there's nothing there. So, you know, I might do some other kind of digging around and see if I could find any reason that this website upset me. But on first blush, I would say this website never was used for much. It hasn't been used in a long time. And so youthbaseballzone.com looks okay to me to use. So then what I'd do is I'd go over to Namecheap. You can go there by way of my affiliate link at latenightim.com/Namecheap. And you can purchase youthbaseballzone.com, which I'm going to do right now. I'm going to go buy youthbaseballzone.com, and that's going to be the URL for our late night niche site. Well, one question that might come up now is, since I'm going to build a site, why don't I go ahead and take advantage of the offer that companies like Bluehost have? When you sign up for their website hosting, you can get a free domain name. And the answer is, a best practice in this space of building websites is to not have your domain name registered with your website host. So here's the thing with keeping those separate. If you have a problem with either your web hosting or your domain name service, you can use the fact that you have control of the other to fix it. So for example, if Bluehost goes down or goes out of business, or you get into a disagreement with Bluehost, you can go to another website provider, generate a new site from your backups very quickly, and then simply change your domain name, which is over at Namecheap, to point to your new host provider in a day, and you'll be back up and running. But if Bluehost is not reachable, or you're somehow in a disagreement with them, if they have control of both, you're just stuck. And so that's the very simple reason that I like to do that. It's just sort of an insurance policy, not creating a single point of failure, I guess is the right way to describe it. So you go over to Namecheap, you pay your $9 for the domain, and you are off and running. And now we own youthbaseballzone.com. Well, actually, I own it, but it is the URL for our late night niche site, youthbaseballzone.com. And if you go over there, by the time you're listening to this, you'll see nothing, because the next step is going to be, which we'll talk about in a future episode, is to secure website hosting. And we'll do that on a future episode of the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast. Remember, if you're buying domain names, go to the show notes for this episode, latenightinternetmarketing.com/108, and download the domain name checklist, the ultimate domain name checklist, and leave it on your hard drive and it'll be available to you at all times. Hope that helps. All right, so this has been a fun episode. It's gone a little bit over time. I hope that's okay, but hopefully if you are on the brink of creating your very first affiliate marketing website, you've gone through these last couple of episodes and you have an idea in your head, and now you're brave enough to go spend the $10 on a domain name, go do that and play along with us. And in a couple of episodes from now, perhaps in episode 110 or 111, we'll go buy website hosting, talk about how to do that, and we'll get a website up and running for the late night niche site. I hope you have a fantastic week and you get something done on your internet business this week. Again, my name is Mark Mason from a little studio in Dallas, and I hope you have an absolutely fantastic week. Go get them. Ciao.
You can do it right when it's late at night.
You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit latenightpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then,
go and make some great progress on your internet business. One night at a time.
One night at a time.
I had a really fun time having dinner with my brother the other night. He came into town. He had car trouble. He ended up having to take some luxury limo bus up to Dallas and Uber around. He was in Fort Worth. He was in Dallas. He was speaking at the Texas A&M University Law School over in Fort Worth. He rushed over to Dallas to have dinner with me and a friend of ours, and then had to rush back home to Austin again on a bus. I don't know how many law partners actually are on buses these days, but we were giving him a hard time about it. Anyway, it was really cool. We went to Del Frisco's Grill in Dallas, which is one of my faves. And I had a huge steak, which is also one of my favorite things to do. And it was super yummy. And one thing that impressed me there, I walked in and I sat down. I had made my reservation on OpenTable because that's how I roll. I'm an online kind of guy, as you guys know. And I sat down at the table, and the waitress came over and she greeted me, "Hey, Mr. Mason." And I don't eat there all the time, but I've been there a couple of times before. And, you know, that's kind of nice. Of course, she got that information from OpenTable. And then she says, "I see that," how did she phrase it? It's basically, she said, "Will you be having a Jack Daniels and Diet Coke again?" Now, that's my before dinner drink, Jack Daniels and Diet Coke. I was floored. I couldn't believe that she remembered that. It turns out that in this restaurant, and a lot of high-end restaurants do this, but this restaurant isn't that high-end. They log your preferences when you eat there, so that when you come back, if they know who you are, and since I came back through OpenTable, they knew who I was, they have your preferences. So she knew the cocktail that I liked to drink that we had while I was waiting on Steven to arrive via Uber. And she knew the wine that I liked. And there's a particular house, Cabernet that they have, the Del Frisco's Cabernet. That's a long story, but anyway, I like their house wine, and, it's bottled exclusively for them. And she knew all of that. And so it was very impressive. It made me feel like they were personally there for me. And it made me wonder, you know, what I can do in my business to be personally there more for people. And this is something that we've talked about before. You need to be delivering value in your business. And one way to do that is to make people feel good. I mean, that's a value. I mean, people want to feel good. And one way to do that is to make some efforts to get to know people personally, to personalize your business for people, to reach out to them, to do stuff for individual people. Now, if your business grows to 100 million people, you're not going to be able to do that for everybody. But there's no reason you can't start there. And there's no reason you can't treat some of the people the way you'd love to treat everyone, right? That's a very common thing that's talked about. I can't remember who to attribute that to. I'll put it in the show notes. But something to think about. Anyway, really interesting restaurant experience there. Peace out.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me in 2007 when I was trying to get started. There were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet. And I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.